Time to go motoring. Time to go brum brum with James Ward, content director for drive.com.au. G'day, buddy.
G'day, mate. How are you? I'm back in the land of 5G coverage and, got all the dust off my shoes.
Yeah. How did it go?
Oh, spectacular.
This is like, the Land Rover testing.
Yeah. And it was in the Flinders Ranges, which is just, you can't really describe it. It is a spectacular part of Australia. And it's one of those things that, once you go there, you think, why haven't I been here before? When am I coming back next? It is an amazing place.
James, I want to talk about the road toll and road safety because we are here on the edge of another Easter long weekend. And I shudder to think what you and I will be talking about this time next week. We've got people hitting the roads with caravans and motorhomes that maybe only get a run once a year, maybe twice a year. Our freeways and our highways are going to be more congested than ever. People are going to be impatient, and it worries me. Now, there's a very, very interesting story about road safety we'll get to in just a second. But first of all, let's talk about caravans and let's talk about motorhomes. Do you think, James, that there should be a separate license for these vehicles because they represent a whole different set of driving skills that you're going to need to be able to drive them? What are your thoughts on this debate?
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, the way I look at it is if, you look at aircraft, you learn to fly in a little one-engine Cessna, you want to fly something with two engines or you want to fly a slightly bigger plane or something like that, you need to be type-rated is what they call it in the aviation. You need to be trained to fly that aircraft. Whereas here, you can go and drive a Corolla for 30 years around the suburbs and then one day wake up and go, you know what, let's do it. I'm going to go and buy a double cab ute and a lovely big Jayco caravan that is a 6-ton gross combination mass articulated load that no one ever trains me on, no one ever teaches me about, no one ever explains load and load balancing to me, and I'm going to hit the highway thinking I'm just going to be amazingly good at it straight away. And that is, look, it's why we see that time and time again, caravans on the side of the road upside down because people just do not know what they're doing in the conditions that can come up.
You know the seasoned caravanners are going to be spewing at this. They're going to say, why should I have to do this? I've been towing a caravan for 30 years.
I tell you what, that you do get that. And we hear it all the time. I think the only people who can actually weigh into this subject with any manner of, I guess, informed education are the truck drivers because they have to be trained to drive a different site. You want to go from a van to a medium rigid to a heavy rigid to a B double to a B triple to a road train, you have to be type rated in those types of vehicles. So they have to go through the training that comes with being in a larger, heavier, longer, more articulated load than they were before. And so, if you've been towing for 20 years and you think that everything's great, well, you're good and you've been lucky. But there's an awful lot of people, you start talking to them about the difference between gross combination and gross vehicle mass, and they glaze over. They've got no idea and no interest. And this is the thing. You've got all these things you need to be cognizant of that no one's explaining, no one's teaching. So, I'm a massive advocate for better training for towing. And whether you're towing a van or you're driving a motorhome, which is like driving a shipping container with wheels, you should go through some form of education before you hit the road.
James Ward is with us, the content director for drive.com.au. We're on the shoulder of another Easter long weekend. And as I said, and I don't want to be pessimistic, but, I always hate to think what are we going to be talking about next week as far as the road toll is concerned?
Yeah.
Because the road toll, I mean, seriously, the road toll is worse than it was 6 years ago. The February 2024 report from the Bureau of Infrastructure and Transport Research Economics has recorded 1,286 road fatalities from February last year to February this year. James, that's a 10% increase.
Yeah, and it's climbing. And you've got your highest risk category are young drivers
and
young passengers.
Are they really? Do we know that for sure? Because
you've got in terms of the brackets that they put them in, what's interesting is the highest volume age group is like 42 to 64, but that's a 12-year age gap. So there's some – the data's not apples and apples across the way, but the sharp end of the field is if you are a young driver, so you're age 17 to 25, so that sort of, what's that, an eight-year window, that is the riskiest time. And not just as drivers, as passengers as well, because you see so many of these terrible accidents are multi-fatalities. So you've got a car full of four young people rather than one person. And that's where the tragedy really comes in here.
Let's continue then with our look at young drivers, because there's a very interesting piece of information coming out of research published in the Journal of Accident Analysis and Prevention. And they're saying that young drivers behind the wheel of a car that they own or a car that they have been given, listen to this, everyone, are 30% more likely to crash in their first year on the road and twice as likely to suffer death or injury than those who borrow the family car. Wow.
Yeah. It's one of these things that you read and you think, how is that possible? And then your common sense brain kicks in. So that if you've got the family car, so you're using, and look, when I was on my piece, I had to drive my mum's car. I didn't have my own car at that point. And there were rules. Mum needed her car to get to work. I was allowed it, you know, at certain times, and I had to bring it back and I had to wash it on the weekends and all that sort of, for the privilege of being able to use it. So you were able to drive and you were able to be a young driver in a car, but you had a stipulation in the environmental kind of use of that vehicle. Whereas kids who've got their own car and basically then have unlimited access to it, well, then they may be out a bit later at night. They may be tempted to take that drive after, heaven forbid, having something to drink, or they might be too tired, or they might be somewhere where that car is not needed back to be used by the household, that then extends the risk envelope. And this is the thing. I always thought, if it's your own car, you'll take more care of it.
It's
the access, that if you have unlimited access to a car, you are more likely to be in an accident than if you think, oh, shit, mum's going to need the car, I better be home by 10:30.
I better take a bit of care. If something, dad...
Oh, God, dad will kill me if I scratch the wheels.
Dad washes and chamois the car every Sunday. He'll see every little scratch. And he'll know it's me.
That's it. It's an interesting food for thought that actually restricting young driver access to the vehicles by having it as the family car is actually a better way of, A, making them appreciate what they've got access to, but B, keeping them safe.
There you go. It's a fact. It's research that's been published this week. Young drivers behind the wheel of a car that they own or have been given are 30% more likely to crash in their first year on the road, and twice as likely to suffer death or injury than those young people that borrow the family car. I find that absolutely fascinating. We're talking motoring with James Ward, the content director of drive.com.au. James, the fuel efficiency standards came out this week. Mate, the federal government, they've watered down what they were proposing, haven't they?
Oh, look, we were having a bit of a laugh today about some of the rhetoric that goes around this. There's a great line by, I think, the Climate Council that says, Australians pay on average $5,000 a year for fuel. With these fuel efficiency standards, it'll be great to see those eye-watering prices go away. I'm like, how does that change anything? What this has done now is basically said, look, we're on the same path as the US. We will have better access to more electric and hybrid vehicles. We will be able to get build slots for people who want to order the plug-in hybrid engine versus the diesel engine. But the initial kind of issues that came out of this was people saying, well, hang on a minute, I need a double cab ute for my work, or I need to cross the country, so I need a big car like a Land Cruiser. They don't have an electric solution there. Why on earth will these potential penalties afforded to the manufacturers be pushed onto the buyer, potentially? Mm. Why should I be punished for that? So what they've done is they've basically reclassified a number of larger SUVs, so ladder frame SUVs like a Ford Everest or a Isuzu MU-X and a Nissan Patrol, that have a greater than 3.5 ton or a 3 ton tow as light commercial vehicles. And then they've said, and the light commercial vehicle rollout will be an eased one. They will slowly kind of move that in. It won't be a snap change, as we'll see for regular passenger cars. And it won't start on the 1st of Jan, it'll start on the 1st of July. So we've got another 6 months of sort of, working through, but it will be a bit more of an ease into this change. The good news is we're on this path, right? So we are moving to more efficient vehicles across the board. So the outcome is the same, but it's not one of these things that just is a snap light switch change and upsets everything. It means it's a much easier transition, and it works for brands that are looking at full electric or hybrid or hydrogen, as well as it does for brands that have got diesel and petrol engine cars that they can't quite get to the end of life cycle in 6 months' time.
Wow. What a fascinating chat with you, my mate. Thank you so much. Lots going on. I want you to have a great Easter. And what's your message for those people who are heading out on a freeway or a highway on a long trip?
Oh, look, for everyone out there, don't read about yourself on the news. Don't be that statistic. Pay attention, get some rest, enjoy the drive. Like, let's face it, beautiful country. There are so many great things to see, but take it easy. Don't get stressed. Just wind it back. Take a little bit longer if you need to. Stretch the legs, get out, enjoy Australia, but stay safe so you can tune in and listen to us next week.
Yeah, we want you. I need all the listeners I can get, please.
That's it. Some readers. Come to the website.
James needs readers and viewers. I need listeners. We want you around next week. James Ward, always good to talk, brother. Thanks for that.
A pleasure.
There we are. Motoring with James Ward, content director for drive.com.au.